peace on earth, and let it begin with me. Let there.
I'm very old now, and I was born in Liverpool, down by the docks.
Physically tiny, Father Jimmy Collins has a giant, iconic status in his native Liverpool. As he heads towards his 90th birthday in January 2008, this frail little priest still manages to maintain a prayer and work schedule that the vast majority of people would find impossible. With his unshakable devotion to his Lord in the Eucharist, Father Jimmy, as he is known, fills churches to overflowing for his monthly healing mass, to which crowds of people come to pray for spiritual and physical healing for themselves and others. 90-year-old Father Jimmy is still one of the leaders of the Liverpool Archdiocesan struggles against abortion. He gives vast amounts of his time to help anybody facing difficulties of whatever sort. He has willingly stood beside his parishioners as they strove to retain their jobs in spite of government and industrial cutbacks. Father Jimmy, or Canon James Collins to give him his full title, is truly a tiny giant. But let him tell you more about himself.
And I love Merseyside, despite all its faults. And I was born at the end of the First World War. And I lived through all that darkness leading up to the Second World War. And I was ordained in 1942 in the center of it all. And I have seen and felt the agony of the nations plunging in the night.
As a result of his own experiences of tragedy in the midst of the Second World War and the heavy bombing of his neighborhood, Father Jimmy learned to stand by others in difficulty. He describes one time when an industrial dispute led to his deepened understanding of the importance of the saints.
Two things are impressed me. One of them happened while I was in Kirby. A decision was almost agreed on to close down a factory called AC Delco. Now, they were an American firm who made, parts for motor cars. Delco was written on the little dial inside a car. I think it was measuring speed or something, but these cameras put it out of action, so it's not working. But it was an American firm, and all through the bad years, this American firm held its workforce. They were pliant, they were compassionate, they paid better money than anybody else, and they cared about their workers. And the trade unionists worked in close cooperation with the American bosses all through those bad years, and suddenly news came from somewhere in Chicago that they'd have to close down that factory. And of course it was devastating because there were 2,000 jobs at stake. And so there was the trade unionists, led by a friend of mine, decided that they'd have to do something about it. So they called a meeting on a certain Saturday, and they were going to march from the factory to the town hall. They'd summoned some of the chief members of the trade union movement and their own members of parliament, and those who represented the labor force in the parliament, and also the conservative candidate who was standing in the area at the time. And they came marching from the factory. Now, I was late because I had to hear confessions at the time. And so I stood on the pavements along with all the other people, and all the traffic was stopped and all the cops were there to see that everything was in order, because there was a lot of feeling about this. And the lad leading the parade saw me, and he stopped, and they all stopped, and he called me and he said, "Get in here." So I got in, and I found myself marching with these up to the town hall, and then he said, "Get on the stage." So I did. I did what I was told. I got on the stage. I sat, sir, at the back of all these members of Parliament and the other, you know, very important people. And then after the summary of where they were up to in negotiations and how difficult it was going to be and so on, and the American man spoke, a very nice guy, they called other people to speak, and suddenly this trade unionist, he died a few months ago of cancer. He said, I want you to say a few words. And I found myself looking at this seething crowd of people, silent, looking at me, and wondering, oh God, what do I say? And I asked the Holy Spirit suddenly, give me wisdom. And I talked to the people about the deathbeds I'd been to of women and men who'd worked at AC Delco and how they'd all gone to heaven. I said they were holy people and they all were friends of God when they died and they all loved this factory. And now in heaven they were saying, Jesus, don't let it close, so it will not close. And there was a huge cheer. And I sat down. I thought, God, what have I said? And it didn't. They built a new one. I tell you that because deep in my heart is the feeling that we are only a fragment of the people who have influence. Most of them are in heaven. And the influence in heaven, as I know now very, very clearly, is more powerful than that on the world. And that the veil between time and eternity is a very thin veil. And I want soon to step through it. This is a powerful, powerful feeling in my mind.
Surely, on the Feast of St. Francis, the words of Jesus, St. Francis, and this tiny giant, Father Jimmy Collins, are all one and the same.
It isn't the economists or the learned or the ones who have control who do things. They're done by the little people. They are the ones who can change the face of the earth. And I mean it. And what they are saying to me so loudly is, pass on the message. You have always got to praise God. You will get a feeling you want to do something, and you'll feel the Spirit of God is telling me to do it. Don't look for success, but do it. Do it. Success is not important. What is important is to listen to the voice of God, to listen to what God says to you, and do it.
Let there be peace on earth, and let